In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The Bible tells us that Jesus raised three people from the dead. That doesn't mean that he raised only three. He could have raised much more, but the Bible only, you know, mentioned three. Lazarus is one of them, and the daughter of Jairus, and another one is the son of the widow. I'm sure many people died during the time of Jesus, but not all of them were raised. He selected few to do this miracle. Sure, a lot of people were sick, but not every single one was healed. Many people had many problems, but not everyone who had a request, because Jesus was in town, he had what he wanted. Only few things like this happened. And the question is why? Why Lazarus and not someone else? Why the daughter of Jairus and not the daughter of so-and-so, his neighbor, and the neighbor next to him? Why this person in particular? The readings of the gospel today, not just the gospel and all the readings, actually answer this question. And it gives us the key behind this miracle of raising Lazarus. If you want to understand the wisdom of God behind things, you must understand something very, very important. If you understand one thing, it's going to give you the key to understand a lot of other things. The key here to this miracle and to all the readings, the theme was one thing. If you get this one, you understand everything in a spiritual life and what God does. If you don't get it, you don't understand anything from what God does, whether good or bad. That everything that God does is for his glory. And the purpose that he is manifested and he is glorious in the life of his people. That is the main goal. And if you notice the readings during the gospel, is like people believed in him and they believed in the glory of God. And if you go through the readings, they all spoke about this theme, the glory of God. Like, for example, the epistle of Ephesians said, you know, how God the Father glorified the Son when he humbled himself. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth or those under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Same theme was repeated in a Catholic epistle, where it was said that you are the temple of God. And the purpose of the temple of God, which is you and me, is to glorify God. This church, the temple of God, is made to glorify God. That people come and say, God is glorious, and people praise God, and people understand the amazing things about God, and they praise him. And he said that. He said that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's our purpose on this world, is to glorify God. And if my life would become just to glorify him, and if this purpose is clear in front of me, I would understand many, many things that happen in my life. The book of Acts, same thing. It says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that if even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. He's doing unusual miracles. God was doing unusual miracles through St. Paul. Why? In the end, a little bit further down, and it says, fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. The name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. You know why St. Paul, different than any other of the apostles, he had this great gift, that even the handkerchiefs and his tissues that he uses was healing the sick. Why? Because the name of the Lord Jesus was glorified. You know why someone is very successful? Because God is going to be glorified through his success. And you know why someone is weak? Because God is going to be glorified through his weakness. Same thing. Same thing that when Jesus healed the born blind, he said, this man, who sinned, him or his parents? He said, not him and not his parents. But the Lord's name may be glorified through him. This theme was very clear in the book of Philippians. You know that St. Paul wrote the book of Philippians when he was in jail. He was in a very, very bad jail. And it, as you know, if you study this epistle, it's all about joy. He spoke about joy a lot in this epistle. And he said, I rejoice that I'm here because some people are preaching even more. And the Lord's name is glorified through me here being in jail. It doesn't really matter if I'm healing the sick, I'm doing the miracles and raising people from the dead, or I'm being thrown in jail, as long as the Lord's name is being glorified. He wasn't looking for him to get out of jail. He wasn't looking out of him for to be comforted, to rest. But he was looking for the glory of God regardless. And he said something beautiful in the first chapter of Philippians, Philippians 1:20. He said, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. I love this. Now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. You and me want God to be glorified through our life. Our success, miracles, amazing things. Is it really for God's glory? Because if I really care for God's glory, it doesn't really matter whether by life or death. And right after that, he said, for me, whether to live is Christ and to die is gain. It doesn't really matter. I'm living for him. I'm living for his glory. When you reach this, then you would understand the purpose of God in every instance of your life, whether failure or success, whether life or death, whether health or sickness. It doesn't really matter as long as the Lord's name be glorified. And God chooses to do different things. At some point, God was glorified through Paul, through his sickness. He said, Lord, heal me. I want to serve you. He said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is perfected in your weakness. He said, let it be. As long as your grace is with me, as long as you're magnified and glorified in me. It's when I seek my glory. It's when I seek my comfort and my rest. Sometimes I think that seeking God's glory, it has to be on my own expense and God has to crush me in order to be glorified through me. That is not correct. That is not true. As I said, God raised Lazarus from the dead today. And God does unusual and amazing miracles. But that's how I want to see God. I want to see God through promotions and great things and praise God and all of this. But not necessarily God is being glorified through this only. He's glorified through different things. That's why in order to glorify God in my life, there are many, many, many things that can glorify God in my life. But I will mention only two of them. One is very simple, very basic. We all know it is repentance. Repentance makes God happy and makes him rejoice. Repentance is right raising Lazarus from evil to the righteousness of God. It glorifies God. When someone changes his attitude, when someone changes the way he lives, it glorifies God. People look at it, especially when this person gets closer to God. People look at it and say, glory be to God. See, this person was far away, but when he got closer to God, You know what happened? He became a different person. Gives glory to God. The opposite of that is hypocrisy. Is being in the church, but not living the life of repentance. So people look at us who are in the church and compare this with our conduct and say, I wonder if Christianity is the way. But look at, send Moses strong, look at the terrorists, look at the people who were far, far, far away, and they were immersed in evil and sin, and believing in Christ, they become different people. Gives glory to God and magnifies His name. It shows that He can do amazing things. If you can change a person, you can change anything in life. I want to tell you, changing a person is 10 times better than raising someone from the dead. Because that person who's raised from the dead is going to die another time. But once someone is moved from darkness to light, that's it. He's living for eternal life. So repentance is the main thing that glorifies God. The second, which is I wanted to focus on a little bit more, is acceptance. Acceptance. God, you want to be glorified through me, through miracles. Let your name be glorified. You want to be glorified by death and sickness. Let your name be glorified. You know, that's exactly what Job said. He said, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Let the name of the Lord be glorified. In the end, the purpose was very clear with Job. That's why he was Job. That's why he was able to make it through this tough time. Because he knew that his purpose on earth is to glorify God. Not to live comfortably, and not to live gloriously, but to glorify God. And God is so faithful to honor those who honor Him. Absolutely. There's no one who honors God and God doesn't honor him by any means. When we honor Him and when we glorify Him, whether through repentance or through acceptance, we are being glorified in the end. Look at the saints around you. God is asking us to glorify them till now. It's been 2,000 years for some of them. Why do we do that? And God will glorify them forever and ever in everlasting life. You glorify Him, He will glorify you. So glorifying God here on earth is through repentance, but also through acceptance. Who's able to accept different things for God's glory? Here, St. Paul in this epistle, and to tell you the truth, that's the secret behind joyful living and joyful life, is knowing how to live for God's glory and accept whatever comes, knowing that in the end, for His good will and for His good purpose and for His good glory, for His glory. Towards the end of the Philippians, the epistle in chapter 4, you know, 4:13, the very famous verse, you know it? 4:13. 4:13. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's very famous. Philippians 4:13. Okay, right before this verse, he wrote two beautiful verses, 11 and 12, where he said, "For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." That's verse 11. Is this easy? No. No, not at all. Not easy at all. "For I have learned," but it comes with a lot of learning. A lot of learning. That's why we're living here on earth. We're learning. "For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to live with a lot of money and how to live without any money. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Blessed is him who learned to do this for God's glory." If you send me money, it's for your glory. If you're sending me health, you know, for your glory. And if you're sending me sickness, it's for your glory in the end. If you know the life of Abuna Bshoy Kamel, who was great in his teaching, and who was great in his example and his pastoral care. But what people remember about him is someone accepted suffering in a joyful way and accepted it for God's glory and really glorified God with this, and God definitely glorified him. When people see us dealing with different circumstances, with ups and downs, and we are still the same, having the same faith, that moves people. It changes people. It gives glory to God. People look at this and say, these people are right, in whatever condition. But it's not easy. That's why in verse 13 he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not easy. Yes, I learned, but it's not easy. But let this be a goal for my life. Learn how to be content. Learn how to accept whatever comes to me for God's glory. Sometimes people look around us. The circumstances in this world come to all of us. Everyone gets angry. Everyone has ups and downs. Everyone has the same circumstances. The only difference is our response to things. How do we respond to different things? How do we respond to good news and to bad news? How do we respond to good times and bad times? How do we respond to different things? May we ask God to give us the strength to glorify Him. Lord, I'm about to go through good time or tough time. I'm about to go through something, about to go through a relationship. I'm going to go through a job. Or I'm going to go through a business or anything like this. Let it be for your glory. I want this to glorify you. I want people to know you through this, through me in this job, or through me in this relationship, or through me in this difficult circumstances. When people around me, when my children, when my family see me responding to that, hopefully this will bring glory to you. That people in the end don't say, oh, it's Paul who raised the people from the dead. No, the name of the Lord Jesus was glorified. That his name will be glorified. When people look and say, where did you get this peace? How are you calm in this storm? It's him. Let his name be glorified. That's how people will learn about God. Not from reading the Bible and not from listening to sermons, but they will learn from our response to different circumstances. Let my response, Lord, be glorifying to your name. Let every response, let every word that comes out of my mouth be glorifying to you. Let every action, let every step, let every movement be glorifying to you. And when I ask that, he gives me, he guides me, he gives me peace through whether tough time or good time, as long as in the end that it is for his glory. Glory be to God forever and ever.